Hey everyone, this is Craig Horlbeck from the Ringer Fantasy Football Show. Join me, Danny Heifetz, and Danny Kelly every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to help you win your draft, win your league, and most importantly, avoid that last place punishment. Follow the Ringer Fantasy Football Show on Spotify.
It's the Ringer's Philly Special presented by FanDuel. April showers bring a loaded sports calendar, and FanDuel is the place to bet on it all. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hungry dogs run fast. And that's this team.
It's truly a Philly thing here.
Welcome to the Ringers Philly Special Emergency Pod. Matt Patricia is here to save the Eagles season. I'm Shiel Kapadia, joined by Ben Solak, who's got a pencil in his ear. Okay, he doesn't. That would have been a good bit. But he is ready for the Matt Patricia. Oh, there you go. He just grabbed one. He just put there it in. Go. He's feeling good. Benny Souls. I thought I'm a little under the weather, as you can probably hear from my voice here. I thought, all right, well, at least, you know, we're not doing a post-game pod today. I'll rest up. Monday, we'll come back. We'll do the double pods. We'll do Philly special. We'll do extra point taken. But then, before the 1 o'clock games, news breaks in a very clunky way, which I want to get to. But basically, yes, that Matt Patricia is taking over the defense. How are you feeling as we go into week 15 and your favorite team as a new defensive coordinator?
Not good, DeShiel. But here, let's you and I reminisce over those defensive coordinator changes made in the month of December that went so well over all the seasons of professional football. All those times you changed a play caller with 4 weeks left in the regular season that went just swell for the team. What? It's Sunday! Why is this out now? Why is this out the way that it is? Why did this happen the way that it is? Why did it happen with the person with whom it happened? Every single thing about this is bad.
I don't know if it's the Tylenol cold and sinus, but I'm finding you particularly amusing this evening so far. All right, let's get to the basics here so far. So reports, you know, I love it. The Sunday morning news breakers, they all got to have their little scoop pitch. And so the first one came, I believe, from Rap Sheet, who said something. It was very couched. It was something like, well, Sean decides sitting upstairs and Matt Patricia sitting downstairs. Little minor change. No big deal. And then Jay Glazer just comes in with the haymaker. Quote, Philly very quietly made a change at defensive coordinator this week, moving out Sean Desai and replacing him with Matt Patricia. Desai remains with the team in a different capacity, but Patricia now runs and calls the defense. Okay, so since then, Eagles come out and they say, no, Sean Desai's title is still defensive coordinator. Whatever that means, if you're not running the defense and you're not calling the defense and you're not the main guy coaching the defense, you are not the defensive coordinator. So, all right, that was very weird messaging there. Your question, well, why does it come out Sunday morning? Well, Sean Desai did his weekly press conference as the Eagles defensive coordinator this week when he literally was not the coordinator the day of his press conference. All right, so that's a little weird. So this all goes back, Solak, to the offseason, if you remember. I can't remember if you and I did a pod right after or not, but when the report was leaked or whatever, reported that Matt Patricia was joining the Eagles staff, Eagles knew, okay, this might not be the most popular move for us as an organization. They post something on their website that Matt Patricia has joined the staff. they take it down from the website that Matt Patricia has joined the staff. It was clunky then. It's clunky now. So Desai is reportedly going to work in a lesser role than Patricia. I don't know why you don't just fire the guy if you're bringing on a new defensive coordinator. But all of that, I mean, how did you kind of process all this information as it was unfolding? Were you confused? Were you like, oh, is this doesn't seem like a big deal? Wait, this does seem like a big deal. Oh, they're actually just pretty much firing one guy and replacing him with this guy that nobody really likes.
It's completely discombobulating. And because it's discombobulating, you inherently just feel frustrated. You feel uncertain. You feel worried. Because if you were attempting to communicate confidence in the direction of your defense as you started upon a new direction, right? You can communicate confidence in the defense by being like, yeah, we're not going to make any defensive coaching changes, which they did, right? Zach Berman tweeted out, like, the first question that Sirianni got asked the start of the week was, you gonna make any coaching changes? Sirianni was like, nope, right? So you went to communicate confidence in the current direction, and now it's out that you have changed direction. However, there's a way to change direction with your chest. There's a way to change direction with confidence, right? You hop up on a podium on Wednesday and you say, listen, like, we met with players, we met with the coaching staff, we had a good conversation. You know, Josh Sweat was giving quotes after the game where he's like, I'm not used to, you know, this sort of pressure is not taking care of everybody. Jeff McClain had a wonderful piece in the Acquirer kind of couching these quotes within the context of the change to DC. You have these quotes, players have been saying this, and they've been talking about this, and Kevin Byard, right, there was the piece in The Athletic about how Kevin Byard and the Eagles players are changing their approach to the meeting rooms, changing their approach to the initial scout, right? You say, listen, we looked back on every single piece of our process, and we're going to make a change in how the defense is coordinated. Sean Desai is still going to manage the meeting rooms and the direction of the defense Monday to Saturday. We're going to have Matt Patricia in the headset on Sundays. And we like this because Patricia's got a lot of experience calling defenses. We think he's a great guy. Then you say a bunch of lies about Matt Patricia, whatever. Like, you know, he's awesome at calling defense. And you say, because of the collective work that we did, we're really confident that our defense, which we know has been underperforming and we know can be a lot better than this, is going to make that leap, is going to step up back up to that bar because of the changes we made. You had the opportunity to do that. You had a whole freaking chance to do that. And instead, this slips and slinks roughshod out of the building while Jalen Hurts is getting on a different plane because he has the flu after we learned Darius Slay has a knee scope. It feels like you guys don't know what's going on in your building. It feels like you guys are just turned around. Oh, Matt Patricia stole the headset from Sean Desai. So now there was the quote about some player gave where he was like, oh, like Desai was like not emphatic enough on the headset, not confident enough on the headset. Feels like Patricia, like big boy Desai. It feels like he kicked out his door on Thursday and was like, I'm the captain now, give me the mic. And it worked. Like, this feels like such a mess. And it's because of the way that it got out. Now, if the defense is better, the defense is better. But the initial vibes on it are horrendous. And if they walk out against the Seahawks and don't have a great defensive performance, the first 9 questions are going to be about what happened, because it's your first chance to talk about it. It's going to be after the Seahawks game because of when you let this get out. So horribly managed. And so now there's so much pressure on the defense to be good in this one-off game right now. You don't even know what quarterback you're facing. Because if they're bad, it's going to be so much heat on this decision couched in the post game of like a bad defensive performance against the Seahawks. Terrible, 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 bad.
The timing is so interesting because of what you just said. I mean, they have faced the third hardest schedule of opposing offenses so far this season. And I tweeted something out earlier and people were saying it couldn't get any worse. No, no, it can get worse. They're 20th in defensive DVOA. They're not 30. You know how many times Matt Patricia has coached a defense that has finished 20th or better in defensive DVOA in his last 5 seasons as a coach or coordinator?
Oh, zero. His last 5 seasons, zero.
Once. Damn. Once. He got to 16th with old Bill Belichick holding his hand. He was able to get... He has never coached a top 10 defense. His last... When he was away from Billy Boy, 32nd, 24th, and 28th.
Like, are we calling Bill Belichick Billy Boy now? Is that where we fired up with Billy Boy? We're ripping it. Let's go.
I'm testing it out here. And
old
then
William...
Works, yeah, then we take it to other platforms. So I think multiple things can be true here. One, the defense isn't playing well, and you can absolutely make a case that Sean Desai is not doing a good job. Two, Matt Patricia is not the freaking man who's going to solve your problems. Like, if this was last year and Vic Fangio was in the building as an advisor and you said, you know what, we're going to, then everyone, okay, that's, it didn't even have to, if it was like somebody else, it didn't even have to be as good as Vic Fangio, but somebody else of that ilk, fine. But Like, this is Matt Patricia. Again, last five seasons, 32nd, 24th, 28th, 31st, and 16th. Don't tell me, he was the coordinator on a Super Bowl team. That defense sucked. Nick Foles freaking lit that defense up in the Super Bowl and then got lit up all season long. They were 31st in defensive DVOA. Again, with Bill Belichick holding his hand. He was 31st. If he was worth anything, they might have won that Super Bowl. By the way, last year, when Belichick brought him back, he thought so much of Matt Patricia as a defensive mind that he had him coach the offense. Like, what are we talking about here? No. This guy does not have any type of resume or credibility that he has been a good coach, that he has been a good coordinator. And on top of that, he has been the worst type of failure because his players couldn't stand him in Detroit. Now, listen, I know there's some players in New England who like him. Chris Long was tweeting he liked Matt Patricia. I mean, I do think Chris Long can get along with pretty much anybody, which is a credit to him. But that's not, I mean, you have a guy in the building in Darius Slay who like could not stand this guy. And now you're handing the defense over to him. So the whole thing is clunky. The whole thing reeks of a team that is in full panic mode when they are 10-3. Like their whole messaging when they're 10-3, we're 10-3. Why are we getting asked these questions? We're 10-3. You know how many teams are 10-3? And then guess what? By the time your next game rolls around, you freaking just fired your defensive coordinator from Matt Patricia.
Joe, Christmas is in a week. In a week. It's almost the new year. They made a coordinator change. This is not the time. Like, I am very rarely one to be like, yeah, dance with the one that brought you. I'm like, we talked about this on last week's show. Like, all right, who's been having more issues, Sean Desai or Brian Johnson? You and I both landed on the Brian Johnson side of things. We think, you know, Desai kind of dealt a little bit of a tough hand personnel-wise. But there's been issues with Desai. I'm not one to say you have to dance with the one who brought you. But the worlds, the realms, all the potential universes in which this switch to Patricia leads to a quick enough, significant enough defensive improvement to warrant the risk of this? You are pulling the chair out from under. Like, this, if this doesn't work, it's egg on your face for the next month. And you, like, Keely Ringo's gonna be starting. They're not in a position to succeed.
I was actually thinking before we started, because I had the same thought as you did. I'm like, all right, Sheil, let's look. You gotta look at it from both sides. Get to the spot where you're telling yourself February rolls around. And we're talking on the Ringers Philly special about how the move to Matt Patricia helped jumpstart this defense and helped get the Eagles to a Super Bowl. I'm like, tell yourself. And then I was trying to think, all right, what bet could I do? I feel like there's something here where I could get you some type of sandwich from Philadelphia and I will literally drive it to Michigan and hand it to you.
I'd meet you halfway, dude. Just to make
all right. The point. Okay, let's do that. All right, we're actually doing this. I will bring something from here. You will bring something from Michigan. If we are talking about a
nice
Super Bowl
lunch,
matchup with
Matt
the Eagles
Patricia
in it.
In the middle of somewhere, yeah. Ohio.
Yes, and it's legitimate. It's a legitimate storyline with credibility that the reason why the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, part of it at least, is because of replacing Sean Desai with Matt Patricia. I am meeting Ben Solek somewhere in between Media, Pennsylvania and Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we will do a lunch there. There you go. That's as confident as I feel about it. Now, I will say this. So I did try to go down that path. Where I landed is that there had to be something with, like, losing the locker room might be too strong, but I feel like there had to be something where players were really like, this guy doesn't have it. This guy isn't putting us in positions to succeed, which like that, it has to be something player related. Cause I mean, remember Nick Sirianni's first year, like Johnny Gans wasn't exactly lighting it up. And at no point were they thinking about making a change there. Again, you're 10-3. This is his first year as a defensive coordinator. And so I do think this is a risk you take when you bring on a coordinator who might not have the bona fides of somebody who has done it for a long time or has a proven track record of success, you know, like a Jim Schwartz. Oh, no, this guy's been in the NFL a long time. He's coached well. He's coached good defenses. Just believe in him. And part of coaching is making sure your players believe in what you're preaching, believe in what you're doing. It feels to me, and again, this could be wrong, I'm just telling you what it feels like, that at some point, it feels like the players were maybe like, we don't believe in what this guy's doing. That's right. Part of the reason why we're struggling, and that's why we're here, and that gets true. Now, how does that get, you know, is that just Nick Sirianni observing, to your point earlier? Is Matt Patricia telling somebody, hey, you know, like, listen, players still might not believe, like, I don't know. That's all speculation. I don't know about, like, but what other reason, if you had to go down that path, Like put yourself in a spot where to start this podcast, I said, Tolak, defend this decision from the organization's perspective. What theory would you have on why this could potentially make sense for them? Because obviously they want to win games. They're not trying to sabotage their own season. In their mind, they think this is the right move. What could the theory be?
I think, right, player-driven is probably your best one, where it's like the players came to Sirianni and Howie and said, we can't play the way Desai wants us to play, and we need like something to be different. I don't like the thing is, in that world, I don't think the players came and said, we want Patricia. I think the players came together and say, like, we can't, like, Desai, like, this is not making sense, right? One of the things that was said in the McLean article was that, like, as they added a bunch of new players, like, things needed to simplify. And I think there's a chance that, like, the defense just doesn't make sense to some of the guys who are on the field, like, especially the veterans.
And that's that's a fair criticism, I think, based on, like, what we see on film. It does feel like they're trying to do a lot of things. And, yeah, to your point, this is like they have a rotating cast of characters in the secondary. So, yeah, sorry to interrupt you, but I think that criticism is absolutely fair of Desai.
Yeah, so I think I think player driven is the most reasonable explanation, but it's only player driven for the first half, which is like something needs to change with the defensive coordinating, with the defensive coaching. The second, like, I don't think anybody was like, we need Matt, which maybe they were, like, again, like, maybe they were, but it wouldn't have been Darius, and Matt, I guess he's got his knee scope, so who else are your leaders? And if you're at a point where you're saying, all right, well, you know, what we have in the building right now is Matt Patricia, like, that's our senior defensive assistant, he's our guy with experience. Then you have to walk back to that moment in which you had Vic Fangio in the building. Vic got out and he got to Miami. You wanted to make that hire. You couldn't. You go and you bring in Desai. And when you bring in Desai, you're acknowledging that is the younger guy who doesn't have a ton of play calling experience. And we're going to want to pair him with somebody, get him with somebody who's a lot more veteran, who's a ton of defensive coaching experience, that can strengthen his weaknesses, can fill in some of his gaps. You should have known when you hired Desai who Dude B was going to be, who the next guy was going to be, because it doesn't feel like you knew. It feels like you got Desai in the building, and then a couple weeks later you were like, Matt Patricia's around, and like that's what you had, like, that you played the hand that you were dealt. You made your bed, now you gotta lie in it, right? Because this is now the best option that you have. Defensive coaching, in my opinion, is always one where there's a lot of young firebrand offensive coaches, a lot of young innovators on offense. Defense, you're always really, really, really benefited from having been in a bunch of systems and seen a bunch of things, because you're in a reactive position defensively. So you need to have a lot of different solutions to a lot of different problems. That's why it's good to have senior defensive assistants and guys who have been around a couple times. Patricia's only really coached in one system. He's only ever been successful with Belichick. He doesn't actually have that much experience, right? The defensive assistants for other teams are like John Fox, like Dom Capers, and like Vic Fangio for the Eagles. Dudes who are like 140, who have just seen tons of offense, right? Matt doesn't fit that bill. And so now here you are with Matt Patricia running the defense, and there's no possible way you feel good about that.
Yeah, no, I would let's take a quick break here. We'll talk a little more about this in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
All right, we're back on the Ringers Philly special. Yeah, I know. I totally agree with you. I mean, when I look at like what schematic changes could they make? I mean, Matt Patricia was a very man-heavy coordinator and coach, both in Detroit and New England. I gave out the numbers last week. This is like a bottom five defense when they play man coverage. Like, and now Slay is out. Like, okay, you're gonna just, you know, man up with these linebackers, with these safeties, with Kelee Ringo, with James Bradbury, who looks way slower than he did last year, and keep it simple and do that. Fine. I think there is something to keeping it a little bit more simple and letting your pass rush get home. We'll see if that pays any dividends. But again, they faced the 49ers, number one in defensive DVOA, Dolphins, number two, Bills, number three, Chiefs, number four, Cowboys, number six. Like, this is who, like, these are the teams they have just played. Now you're playing the Seahawks, the Giants twice, and the Cardinals. Like, I'm telling you right now, don't come back to me in a month. And now this goes off to like my summertime tangent.
Yeah, this is like the second part of it. Yes,
thank you. Don't come back to me in a month and show me counting stats of how the Eagles are allowing fewer yards and fewer points and fewer touchdowns and are better red zone and are better third down in the four games with Matt Patricia than they were with Sean Desai. They freaking better be. That's right, because they're playing crappy offenses for the next month. Guess what? If Sean Desai just stayed in his current position and like his menu literally said cover one, cover three, cover four, no checks, it's the numbers probably still would have been better. He just had to pick one of those three because a lot of it has to do with the opponents you're facing. So again, they're 20th in defensive DVOA. They played pretty well against the Dolphins. They played relatively well against the Kansas City Chiefs. They got lit up by the 49ers. They got lit up by the Cowboys. They played pretty well against the Rams earlier this season, which was a top 10 defense. So there has been a hit or miss nature to it. I don't think Desai has done a good job, a great job. They've gotten lit up the past 2 weeks. I also don't think, looking at the talent, that it was like, you got to make a change here. Like, I don't know. I mean, where do you think, let's say Vic Fangio was coaching this defense this year. They're 20th in defensive DVOA right now. Where do you think they would be given the personnel? Let's do that exercise.
Yeah, 12, 13, right? Like, I think they could get to above average. I think that they would have probably made a remarkably different investment in linebacker than they did. And that's the tricky thing, right? It's like, I think the Vic Fangio defense with these linebackers is 38th in the league, but I don't think they'd have walked into the season with these linebackers if Vic were coaching the defense. So it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit of like a moving target to hit prognostication-wise. Yeah, now what I will say is there is always, like it's with NFL players, right, who like, you know, you and I sit here and we're like, DVOA. For NFL players, the world's a lot simpler, right? Like, how many points are on the board? How do we feel about how we played? There's a little bit of like after it, therefore, because of it, that works here, right? Where if they make the switch to Patricia and then they beat up on Drew Locke, Tommy DeVito, and the Cardinals and Tommy DeVito again, I'm sure the collective defensive feeling in the locker room is going to be like, okay, we're better, and it's because of the change. Like, and they're gonna like, and obviously they can also be played some easier opponents.
That's true.
Like, they're not dumb, but there's going to be that feeling. That feeling is going to be there, right? You're playing faster, you're hitting guys, you get a turnover. Like, here we go, like we fixed it. I think when you and I get to the postseason game and we're prepping that game and we're previewing it, we're gonna say, hey, like this is the hammer's about to drop, right? Here comes the other shoe. Like that improvement wasn't real, but they'll walk into that game potentially. I would say likely. Feeling just generally better as a unit. And that means something. I don't know how much it means on the point spread. I don't know how much it means in the final score. Like, you know, a momentum, it's a 0.1. I don't know. I can't quantify it for you, but that does mean something. And so I think, like, even if there is that dummy improvement, that's meaningful inside the room just because of how players act and feel and connect with one another.
Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah, that is not statistics. That is just, from a mental perspective, from an emotional perspective, from a confidence perspective for them. Again, they were going to play well, better the last month of the season anyway, but if they're feeling better about it, again, I don't know how much that's worth, but you're absolutely right about that. The other thing is this does have like far-reaching implications. Like Sean decides, like you need a defensive coordinator for next year. I know we're focused on this year, but like you thought maybe Desai would be your guy for a few years here. Like he's not going to return as the defensive coordinator at any point. Is it Matt? I mean, the worst case scenario would be they talk themselves into some Matt Patricia stuff with the way the last month of the
season
goes.
Don't even put it into the
universe. And then he's
your
coordinator.
How dare you?
In 2024. And now you're screwing your 2024 season. I mean, that is a possibility here. By the way, there's also a possibility that they get cooked by some of these
crappy offenses. Like they're not, you know what I mean? Like yeah, it's not a lock that they're going to play well with this personnel, with Matt Patricia coordinating it. We see other defenses get lit up by bad teams sometimes as well. So that's the other possibility. One thing I'm curious about is the process for making this call. So this goes back to previous regimes and just how the power structure of the Philadelphia Eagles with Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman. Was this Nick Sirianni coming to them and saying, I want to make a change, and them saying, do what you think you need to, you know, you need to do. This is your staff. We don't feel strong that, you know, I have a strong opinion one way or another. Was it the opposite? Was it Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman saying, have you thought about making a change? This defense doesn't look good. They just got lit up. How are you feeling about Desai right now? Is there a move we can make here? Because those conversations absolutely happen. They absolutely have input on the coaching staff, on the coordinators. Nick Sirianni did not have a previous history with Sean Desai, or for that matter, Brian Johnson. So Roseman, Lurie, other people in the building certainly have influence there on what who his coaching staff is. And so that's just something to keep in mind in the weeks and months ahead as we get more information on this decision. And then the other thing, so like I said this like when I was, after our last post-game pod, where I mentioned Nick Sirianni has not faced adversity since his first, seven or eight games as an NFL mm-hmm. head coach, his first season. Then they turn that season around. They lose to the Bucs in the playoffs, but you're feeling good about the turnaround. Last year, they breeze through the regular season. They get to the Super Bowl. Looks like you have a great head coach. This year, you start out 10-1. You're feeling good. And then two losses, and this is what hits after two losses. Listen, he's got to do what he feels like is the best move for him. But that's pretty interesting to me that it's not the calm of, hey, and Bo Wolf wrote this in a column he wrote today on PHLY about Fletcher Cox basically saying, like, you take your direction from the top. Like, if they're not panicking, then you know, all right, we don't need to panic here. We're good. But then if you're a player on the team right now, you're seeing that the leader of the organization is telling you, even though the team is 10-3, he felt like one of the biggest cards possible to play at this stage of the season was worth playing. So that's something else I'm interested in here with Sirianni. How do the players respond? Is this kind of how he responds to adversity? Is this Howie Roseman, Jeffrey? Like, where is it coming from? Right. So all those things are sort of bigger picture things in my head when you see a move like this.
Yeah. We have to remember that in 21, Sirianni flipped play calling from himself to Shane Steichen, and that came with big returns, right? Like, Sirianni has flipped play calling in his building
that's
before.
That's true. Good point. Yeah, that's true.
With success. Now, that was Sirianni taking something kind of out of his hands and putting it in somebody else's hands on the offensive side of the ball. Much earlier in the season. This is, besides the one shared comparison of, like, changing a play caller, this is very different. This is late in the season, passing it down he passed it from, like, himself down. This is, like, moving from one spot to the other. Like, it's not like he's giving it away or taking it as the head coach. It's just changing the responsibility. And it's on the defensive side of the ball. It's late in the season. So the differences run a little skint. But in general, like, you know, he has done play calling changes before, and there's been success with that. And like we talked about a lot with Steichen and Brian Johnson, you can run the same system. The guys on the headset matters just in terms of, like, feeling game flow. And if part of their logic, like he says, we learn more about this in the coming days, and they actually have to talk about it on a mic. If part of the logic is, well, Patricia's just called a lot more defense on a Sunday, and so we feel like he's going to feel the flow of the game a lot better. He's going to know when to call that blitz, when to call that adjustment, when to call that timeout. Like, we just think he's going to execute better on a Sunday. Then, like, I can see the logic of it. That might be the whole point of the switch.
I mean, the Eagles organization has rightfully so gotten many accolades nationally, you know, just for how they, the roster building and the investments by Jeffrey Lurie, which is absolutely true. How are you going into a stretch run 10-3 with Matt Patricia as your defensive coordinator? I mean, how is this?
The first camera shot on Monday Night Football where I see Matt Patricia in an Eagles windbreaker is going to drive me nuts, dude. It's going to drive me nuts.
It's odd to even think about. All right. I think those are most of my thoughts on the coordinator change. Jalen Hurts, questionable with an illness. Johnny Airport had the photo of Jalen Hurts getting on a different plane to fly to Seattle so as not to get his teammates infected. So there you go. There's a questionable for Jalen Hurts. We'll see if he plays Sunday night. We still don't know if Drew Lock where Geno Smith is going to play for the Seahawks. Eagles right now are 3-point favorites. So that line has pretty much moved down steadily from, I think, 4.5 when we recorded last week's postgame pod to now. Darius Slay, you mentioned having that knee procedure, will miss this game and probably more. I guess the report, I think, from Adam Schefter was that he'll be back for the, you know, at some point in the regular season. We don't know when. I think Jeff McClain reported Kelee Ringo is going to get the start. I'm actually excited to watch a Kelee Ringo. You know, it adds a little, a new wrinkle to this time of the season.
Let's see, already got his rookie baptism last week. Just throw him out there against the Cowboys, the most important game of the season. Just let him get absolutely hammered on every single rep. So, like, you know, you've broken the seal, and now it's all up from here. All right, better and better every week. Round one grade from Ben Solak on Kelee Ringo. Very excited to see that in practice against Tyler Lockett in isolated man coverage with Matt Patricia calling the plays on an Island Monday game. Thrilled that this is our Kelee Ringo situation.
My goodness. Bradberry, Kelee Ringo, and Bradley Roby or Eli Ricks against DK Metcalf.
If I have to watch a Marcus Mariota-led, Matt Patricia-coached Eagles team lose to Drew Lock, I'm going to be inconsolable and unpleasant to deal with. I want to make that very clear.
There you go. On a plus note, the Cowboys got killed by the Bills today. So there you go. You picked up a half a game on the Dallas Cowboys today. The 49ers, on the other hand, continue to roll. And like, it's shocking when you have one of their games on and they don't score a touchdown. So that's not great news.
Win both of the Giant games and one of two Seahawks Cardinals games and the Eagles in the division. That's the world right now. Win three out of the next four, with two of those three being the two Giants games, and the division's yours. And
there you go.
Keep Jalen Hurts, you know, with the mask, and employ Matt Patricia and do whatever else you want to do, but at least do that.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably mean you're the two seed and you play two home playoff games and then you see what happens. I don't know. We'll see what happens. This could really go either way. I know this is like I feel strongly about ripping the move. At the same time, they could come out and play great against the Seahawks. And we're here talking tomorrow night about, well, you know, for one game at least, it didn't crumble. At the same time, this absolutely could go in the other direction. When you're seeing all the things that are happening right now with this team, with this move, with what players have said here, with the leadership, with kind of the tension in the building. If you lose three in a row at this stage of the season, we've seen these seasons before. I've told you, what was it, the 94 season, I think, 7-2, you start out, you finish 7-9, you had the Chip Kelly year, 2013, you beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, and then you fall apart down the stretch, so there's still four games left. You have a favorable schedule right now. You went through the gauntlet. Let's see how this thing finishes out. All right, Solak, did I miss anything? Any closing words? Oh, wait, we got to get Cliff. Cliff was just spitting fire when we came on before we started recording. So I'm like, Cliff basically said everything that we've said in a much more succinct, clear way than I ever could. So we need to hear from Cliff. Cliff, hello, my friend.
First of all, we got Benny Pencils over here. He got the pencil stuck in his hair. But look, man, like, this just screams this screams a level of dysfunction that I'm not happy about. Like, we are in the 14th game of the season, and you're making a major switch like this to a guy most people don't think is good and most people don't like. So how are Eagles fans supposed to be optimistic about this overall? And second of all, this all goes back to Johnny Gaines. Like, he left his mark yet again, bro. We are supposed to have Vic Fangio here, and yet Jonathan Gannon ruined it again for us. How many more things is he going to? There's going to be something else he's going to ruin for us. Watch, like, he better not mess up my prayer breath on
defense.
We do got to see him. By the way, I think I will be in attendance for that game. We do have to see him. But man, like, this just screams a level of dysfunction from a franchise. Like, you know, maybe in the past, they're good now, but maybe the Lions or Browns or somebody would do something stupid like this, or the Buccaneers, or, you know, whoever's been the dreck of the NFL in the past. But man, I don't like this. I don't know what the power structure is. I read Bo Wolf's column on PHLY. Shout out to them. They do great work. Bo, Zach, Fletcher Cox is with them as well, too. And he said, like, yeah, like, you know, we react off how coaches react. There's a lot of young players on defense. So you got the Kelee Ringos, the Jalen Carters, the Jordan Davises of the world. They seeing stuff like this, and they're saying to themselves, whoa, wait, we going to make this major of a change this late in the season? Like, how am I supposed to have faith in the coaching staff or the people up top knowing what they're going to do? And then, how, you got to take some responsibility, too. Your top five tackle leaders from last year aren't on this team. you know, Ben's favorite guy, Kazir White, is not there. Hargrave isn't there.
Kazir, who was actually playing well in Arizona this year, and then he got hurt.
Career season.
Where that Kazir was in Philly last year, I don't know, but he was great.
TJ Edwards, I believe. I said Hargrave.
TJ had a nice game for the Bears today.
He's playing well also. Very well.
Marcus Epps, I think, as well, too. And CJ DJ, right? Those are the top five tackle leaders last year on the Eagles, and they're all going on the defensive side of the ball. And then you brought in Zach Cunningham on August 6th. You brought in Nick Morrow, a guy, you know, late, what it was, I think it was March, a guy who's not
time,
really,
yeah,
right. He was not really that talented. You know me on this pod. I've been going at him all season. I'm a linebacker fan.
I was thinking of Miles Jack, but yeah, you're right.
Miles Jack as well. Yeah. I'm a linebacker fan. I grew up in the Jeremiah Trotter era when guys like that was actually hitting people, knocking people over. You know, the Teddy Bruschi's of the world was my favorite players growing up. And every year, year after year, we don't invest in that position. And then you had undersized N'Kobe Dean, who was supposed to save us, who's pretty much a glorified special teams player, and he's hurt, and he can't play. So it's like, Howie, where's the responsibility on that end where you didn't clean up the defense even the slightest, especially in the linebacker position? So we're stuck with Zach Cunningham. We're stuck with a rookie Keely Ringo. Avante Maddox is out. That's huge for the Eagles. You're pretty much replacing two safeties again this year as well. So it's like, the talent really ain't all there. The talent is all invested in the D-line and in the pass rush. That's clearly not working. Guys in the secondary getting cooked. Bradbury and Slay just got contracts. Slay, you know, somehow gets hurt as the coach that he, you know, pretty much said, I don't like this guy publicly a bunch of different times the same week. Like, it's crazy. Yo, it's a big whirlwind of nonsense that's going on right now. And the Eagles are so lucky that they have this stretch of games coming up. Because, like, if you were doing this going into San Fran, going into the Cowboys, I'd be concerned. At least you got, you know, Daniel DeVito, Tommy DeVito, whoever's on the Giants, the guy that does all the hand motions and all
Tommy.
That.
Yeah.
At least you got
Tommy Gutlets, Benny Pencils, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, at least you got him twice. And then you got a lowly Cardinals team, you know, don't get it twisted. They are listen. I don't like Johnny.
Their offense played actually pretty well.
Yeah, watching them and I keep my eyes on them. I'm like, these guys actually be playing hard. So like, I give Gans credit for that. They're losing a ton of games still, but still, they play hard. So don't sleep on them as well. And then you have a game where you're going into, you know, you're flying across the country, and then you're going to a place where you haven't won in, you know, 15 years. There's a lot of concern coming up here. The Eagles clearly need to get that home field because we saw what happened with the Cowboys today. If they have to play on the road, things just look different for them outside of Cowboys Stadium. So it's a lot, man. There's a lot to be concerned about. But overall, I blame Johnny Gans.
Did I hear you say Teddy Bruschi was one of your all-time? I couldn't let that go.
So, growing up, there was a
the
play.
The listeners would have to – if I didn't follow up on that, I mean, the listeners would take this podcast away from me.
So, yeah, all right. So, growing up, right, Teddy Bruschi was one of my favorite linebackers because it was a play. I think
people listen to this pod, Cliff, yeah?
I know. Yeah. They're going to kill
cut
me
this
for this.
Out? You know Solek and I can't edit. Like, we don't know how to edit this out.
That's all for you.
I was a fan of linebacking because of him and Jeremiah Trotter growing up and Ray Lewis. So Teddy Bruschi, it was a play in like an AFC championship game, and Edgerrin James was the running back for the Colts. It might have been like 2004 or something like that. And I think the Patriots were orchestrating a comeback on the Colts. And Edgerrin James was like a bruiser, strong. I think he was probably like the strongest running back at that time in the league. Teddy Bruschi ripped the ball out of his hands as he was just running, you know, like some off tackle play, something basic. And I was like, oh, this guy's a monster. So I was always like I was always a Teddy Bruschi fan. I was always a fan of linebacking. And I was always a fan of like hits. That's why I was a big B-Dog fan too. So yes, that explains why I'm always upset when the Eagles have to get a linebacker a month before the season starts and another linebacker retires during the first week of training camp. And you're stuck with Nick Morrow and Zach Cunningham and undersized N'Kobe Dean as a third round pick. And I don't even know what Van Buren.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sean Bradley. Heal up. That's my guy.
I love it. All right. We can't go any deeper with this linebacker joke. We gotta cut it out here before people get too upset. They want to get hyped a little bit before this game starts. All right. Cliff said it all. Solek said it all. Thank you very much. Listen, I did not think we're gonna be doing an emergency pod on December 17th.
about Matt Patricia taking over the Eagles defense, but that's where we are. All right, everybody, enjoy the game Monday night, one way or another. We'll be back afterwards to talk about it. Until then, thank you for listening to the Ringers Philly Special. We'll talk to you soon.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpgg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming, hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.